Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, reading verse 1 through 4. And if you're counting, this is part 3 of our study in this chapter. Then Jesus, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know I repeat myself, but it's the burden of my heart that you would touch the hearts, the minds, the souls of those that listen to me. Me, I'm nothing. I'm not a good preacher, and I know it. I don't have any delivery to speak of, but I know the scriptures, and they burn within me. And I beg and plead for a move of God, a touch of God, the hand of the Lord upon my preaching. Lord, please touch the heart. Please illuminate the heart, the mind, what have you. Please give understanding. Please break through the fog or whatever needs to happen. But I beg and plead that you touch the heart of the people listening. And that is ever my prayer. And please do it in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we look at Judas Iscariot. The first question: why would Jesus call a man to be a disciple, to be an apostle, if he knew that he would later betray him? Why would Jesus do that? How? I mean, God knows everything. If he knew that Judas would betray him, why call him to begin with? John chapter 17, verse 12. In this chapter, we have what is known as Jesus' pastoral prayer. But he says, again in John 17, verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." Why did Jesus call Judas, knowing he would betray him? That's the answer: that the scriptures might be fulfilled. If you want to think about God's foreknowledge, He knows everything. But again, it asks the question again, if God knows everything, why would He call Judas? It's too big for my head, this idea. But I believe it. Again, it's too much for me to ponder. I don't understand foreknowledge, but I believe it. And I'll stand on this, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And if you've listened to me in these past few months, you know that I took a good bit of time going through chapter 8 and 9 of Matthew, using the topic fulfilled and astonished. And we saw again and again and again how the things Jesus did were fulfillments of Old Testament prophecy. Again, it's a tough question. Why would Jesus call a man that would later betray Him? Psalm 109. This is a messianic psalm, a psalm that talks about the first coming of Christ. David says, "Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have compassed me about or encircled me. They've encompassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer." Paul said, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Quite possibly, Paul is quoting this verse, verse 4. "For my love, they are my adversaries. For my love, because I love them, they've turned against me and they're my enemies, my adversaries." But in response, he said, "But I give myself unto prayer." Well, they're attacking me, they're saying this, whatever. But here's how I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to go find me a quiet place and pray. Jesus said, "Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you." He was probably quoting again verse 4 of Psalm 109. "And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love." But verse 6, 7, and 8. "Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. And when he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office." And the condemnation in this psalm goes on, but that's enough, I guess. It's a prophecy of Judas. Jesus never did anything against Judas. Again, he called him in spite of knowing that he would turn against him. Without a cause, for no reason, Judas betrayed the Lord. But here it talks about his condemnation, his judgment. And I'll use the word now and later on we'll see it. But the curse that fell upon Judas because of his betrayal of the Lord. Let his prayer become sin. That's an interesting phrase. Again, we'll see this again. Luke chapter 22, John chapter 13, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And we studied the rise and fall of old King Saul last week. And certainly you can look at the life of King Saul and find backstory and explanation and motive and what have you for Judas's betrayal. Psalm 41, verse 9, Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And we just read just a second ago, John 13:27, after the sop that Jesus and Judas dipped the bread into the same bowl of whatever it was. But here in Psalm 41, it mentions mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the fall in the garden. God said to the serpent that the seed of the woman, which is Christ, would bruise the head of the serpent, but that the serpent would bruise the heel of the Messiah. And we know that Jesus died as a result of all of this, and we know the story. But again, there's prophecy left and right, everywhere you look. And I've said this many times, everywhere you look in the Old Testament, you'll find prophecy. And the things that Jesus did and thought and said and what have you, they're all prophesied of in the Old Testament. But another example of rebellion and betrayal, you can look at Absalom, King David's son. And I won't read it, I just want to mention that there are other examples of rebellion and betrayal, backstabbing, what have you. But Judas, just like King Saul that we studied last week, he had a heart problem. Not hypertension or angina, not the physical muscle, but the heart of man, the innermost thoughts, the motives, would have you. It's said that reputation is what people think of you after they've watched. And they know you when you have a reputation, a good one hopefully, or a bad one perhaps. But integrity is when no one is watching. And we know that God always watches. He always, it says, tries the hearts and the reins. He knows your motives. He tests you, tries you, tests you. But then it mentions reins. Your reins. It's an Old Testament idea. But a horse, in order to get him to go left or right or forward or to slow down or stop or whatever, you click the reins, or you pull it left or right, whatever, and you direct the horse. And hearts and reins, it has to do with God trying to direct you to live for Him, to do the right thing, to believe and to do and to act and what have you. God is always working on everyone's heart. You may not see it, you may not realize it. And if you take a look at the life of Jacob, you realize that God will sometimes have to take decades to work things out in your heart. Again, for my love, they are my adversaries. God only means good for us, not evil. God only means the best for us, not the worst. But sometimes He has to take us through things, or allow us to go through things. And then we hopefully learn from our mistakes, or what have you. And I guess I could chase a rabbit and talk about sanctification. But in John chapter 12, verse 1 through 6, it says that Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, which is when He would be nailed to the cross, He came to Bethany, and they had a supper in verse 2, and then Mary, one of the Marys, she took a pound or a gallon or whatever the case of ointment of spikenard, whatever that is. But whatever it was very costly, some kind of perfume or ointment or something. And she anointed or smeared this stuff on, smeared it on the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor or the smell of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him. Again, identifying who it was that's being talked about. He said, why wasn't this ointment sold for 300 bucks or whatever and given to the poor? But it says in verse 6, He said this not because He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and He had the bag. And He's the one that carried all the money that they had collected through offerings or whatever. He was worried about the money. And again, I said that Judas and King Saul, and we could talk about many others, they had a heart problem. We studied that last week, where Saul's heart wasn't right. And outwardly, he wanted to obey God, but inwardly, he didn't care about that. He didn't understand. He didn't want to understand. But God said in Proverbs, the first few chapters, it says that we ought to strive for understanding. We ought to get knowledge and what have you, but with all thy getting, get understanding. You can look at David, and we said this last week probably, that David was a man after God's own heart. And he suffered. We mentioned Absalom. We can talk about others in the life of David where he was betrayed or what have you. But just as we saw in that psalm, instead of getting even, he wouldn't pray for the guy. Again, God is concerned with your heart. And when your heart is wrong, you'll end up doing wrong. In Matthew chapter 26, Satan used Judas just as he used the serpent in the garden. Matthew chapter 26, verse 23. And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Mark chapter 14, verse 20. And he answered and said unto him when they asked, Who's going to betray? You know, is it I? Is it me? Am I the one? He said, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. And we read John 13. But Luke 22, verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 48, Now he that betrayeth him gave them a sign, the Pharisees and whoever, that he had struck his bargain for the 30 pieces of silver to betray him. He gave them a sign, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, that's the one. Hold him fast. And it looks like I'm running out of time. Next week we'll take a look at Judas's death. We'll take a look at the events that occurred leading up to his death, what have you. And we'll also take a look at the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied and foretold exactly what would happen. And I want to thank you, those that listen. I'm very grateful, very honored that you would spend your Sunday morning listening to this boring preacher. I thank you very much. And I'll see you next week.
to the friendless.
Oh, yeah.
He has mercy that is endless.
Oh, yeah.
He is healing in your sickness.
Oh, yeah.
Your salvation, your forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
And he's able.
He's able.
Oh, he is able
to carry you through.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.